It's Saturday, November 17, 2018, from Chester, Virginia. This is Literally This Week. Hello, this is Keith F. Shovlin, publisher of AS21 Media, here to bring you the literary news for the second full week of November 2018.
Sunday.
Top story from Boing Boing, Bram Stoker's reference materials for Dracula discovered at the London Library. Bram Stoker's working notes for Dracula were discovered in 1913, but not published in 2008. Now, researchers at the London Library have pulled the titles Stoker referenced and showed that these were the very books that Stoker used. They could tell because he defaced the library books, circling the phrases he later made notes on. The markings range from crosses and underlinings against relevant paragraphs to page turnings on key pages to instructions to have someone copy entire sections into his typewritten notes. Some of the most heavily marked books include Sabine Baring Gould's Book of Werewolves and Thomas Brown's Necromancy Divination of the Dead. But the range of titles also sheds light on the detail of Stoker's geographical and historical research, for example, A.F. Cross's Round About the Carpathians and Charles Bonner's Transylvania. Also in the news on Sunday, from the bookseller, libraries combined on first ever Great Northwest Read. A new library campaign is launching that for the first time ever. We'll see 22 public library authorities joining forces to promote one book across the whole Northwest region. From New York Times Company Press Room, New York Times digitizes millions of historical photos using Google Cloud technology. Prior to the digitization, millions of photographs, along with tens of millions of historical news clippings, microfilm records, and other archival materials, existed only in a physical archive three levels below ground near the Times headquarters in New York City, called the New York Times Archival Library, also known as the Morgue. Though the Times officially began clipping and saving articles in the 1870s, they were not formally codified into a library until 1907. From Syracuse University, iSchool launches new hub for public libraries research. The newly established iSchool Public Libraries Initiative, led by Associate Professor of Practice Jill Hurst Wall as director, has several key purposes. She says it creates an intellectual home for iSchool faculty and students who want to research public library topics and apply the knowledge they discover. Secondly, the initiative offers iSchool Master's Degree Library Information Science students and offers a faculty-supported research hub focused on topics in their field. In third vein, students and faculty are helping public libraries build added capacity for innovation by sharing the information research projects uncover. And finally on Sunday from LitHub, MTA vs. MFA on trains as writing spaces. Patio Giannopoulos makes the best of his daily commute.
Monday.
Top story from The Cut, J.K. Rowling's assistant reportedly scammed the hell out of her. The summer of scam is dead, long live the summer of scam. The latest reported victim of an outrageous grift, Harry Potter author J.K. Rowling, who is suing her former assistant, Amanda Donaldson, for £23,696, which is about $31,143. Donaldson worked for Rowling from February 2014 until April 2017, and is denying all claims. Specifically, she's been accused of making a series of unauthorized purchases, including $1,900 worth of candles, $2,100 at Starbucks, and $1,577 on two cats. There's also this from the BBC. Ms. Rowling also claims Ms. Donaldson, who controlled memorabilia requests from fans, used her position to steal a Harry Potter motorized Hogwarts Express worth £467, a Harry Potter wizard collection worth £2,231, and a Harry Potter Tales of Beedle the Bard set worth £395. If true, Rowling presumably didn't notice because she was too busy tweeting out new backstories for her characters. Also in the news on Monday, from Publishers Weekly, letterpress publisher Arian Press for sale. Based in San Francisco, Arian is a fine letterpress printer and publisher that has worked with such artists as Alex Katz, Jim Dine, Julian Moretti, and Martin Perrier. Founded in 1974 and doing about four books annually, Arian's most admired titles include a handset edition of Moby Dick, an edition of James Joyce's Ulysses illustrated by Robert Motherwell, a two-volume edition of Don Quixote, and a letterpress-printed two-volume folio Bible. From Axios, Jeremy Corsi, formerly of InfoWars, expects to be indicted by Mueller investigation. Jeremy Corsi, a political commentator who has recently subpoenaed to testify Robert Mueller's Russia investigation, told ABC News on Monday that he's expecting indictment from the special counsel soon. Corsi is the author of such books as Where's the Birth Certificate, Obama Nation, Hunting Hitler, and Who Killed Kennedy. And finally on Monday, from the Tampa Bay Times, Tayari Jones talks about the novel that changed her life. Since Tayari Jones' novel An American Marriage was published in February, it has spent 10 weeks on the New York Times bestseller list, been chosen by Oprah Winfrey for her book club, and optioned by Winfrey's movie production company, and been nominated for an array of literary prizes. We'll be right back after this message from our sponsor.
This episode is sponsored by...
Listeners to this and other podcasts of the AS21 podcast series are eligible for a free audiobook from Audible. Sign up today and get your first month for free to visit audibletrial.com/AS21. Sign up for the service for a low monthly fee. Every month you'll get an audiobook credit, or you can find other audiobooks for regular prices on the network. Choose from over 180,000 titles, then you can download your audiobooks onto your computer, onto your Kindle, onto your iPhone, onto your Google phone, your Samsung phone, anything. Wherever you take audiobooks with you, you'll be able to use Audible. Choose from 180,000 titles, and you might find something that you will definitely be interested in. This past week, I really got in the bug of reading. I started the week with Fear, Trump in the White House by Bob Woodward. Then I read Time's Eye by Arthur C. Clarke and Stephen Baxter, the first book in the Time Odyssey series, followed by When Breath Becomes Air by Dr. Paul Kalanithi. Then back to fiction with A Man Called Ove by Frederick Backman, and then finished the week with Option B, Facing Adversity, Building Resilience, and Finding Joy by Sheryl Sandberg. Bunch of short books, easy to get through in a week. Next up for me, I decided to go old school with The Princess of Mars by Edgar Rice Burroughs. You never know what you might find when you search for Audible. You get great titles available, and they may be read to you by famous actors, or they could be read by the author themselves, or who knows, maybe even a cast of readers. Check out today. Sign up, get your first month for free, and that first audiobook for free, and once you download that audiobook, it is yours forever. Shop wisely, find something you like, and enjoy taking your reading with you, as well as other great Audible options, including Audible Originals, which are highly catered, well-done podcast series available for free only to those on the network. So sign up for Audible today, audibletrial.com/AS21. You will enjoy it. Now back to the show.
Tuesday.
Top story from the New York Times, Stan Lee is dead at 95, superhero of Marvel Comics. If Stan Lee revolutionized the comic book world in the 1960s, which he did, he left as big a stamp, maybe bigger, on the even wider pop culture landscape of today. Think of Spider-Man, the blockbuster movie franchise and Broadway spectacle. Think of Iron Man, another Hollywood goldmine series personified by its star Robert Downey Jr. Think of Black Panther, the box office superhero smash that shattered big screen racial barriers in the process. And that is to say nothing of the Hulk, the X-Men, Thor, and other film and television juggernauts that have stirred the popular imagination and made many, many people very rich. If all that entertainment product can be traced to one person, it would be Stan Lee, who died in Los Angeles on Monday at 95. From a cluttered office on Madison Avenue in Manhattan in the 1960s, he helped conjure a lineup of pulp fiction heroes that has come to define much of pop culture in the early 21st century. Also in the news on Tuesday, from the AP, Amazon Goes Bi-Coastal will open HQs in New York and DC suburb. The online shopping giant ended its 14-month-long competition for second headquarters by selecting Long Island City, Queens, and Arlington, Virginia as the joint winners. Both are waterfront communities away from overcrowded business districts, giving Amazon space to grow. From the bookseller, Anna Foley Simmons scoops the inaugural Thinking Women's Writing Award. Anna Foley Simmons had scooped the inaugural Thinking Women's Writing Award, a new prize set up by British-Nigerian author and TV presenter Kate Jukan to address woeful underrepresentation of women writers of philosophy. From the U.S. Department of Agriculture, USDA partners with communities to bring high-speed broadband e-connectivity infrastructure to rural areas. USDA is investing $91 million through the telecommunications programs. The 19 projects will benefit more than 27,000 businesses and households in Arkansas, Georgia, Iowa, Kentucky, Minnesota, North Carolina, North Dakota, New Mexico, Oklahoma, Tennessee, Utah, and Virginia. And finally, on Tuesday, from The Guardian, why political books for kids are more popular than ever, and six you should definitely read. Children's literature with a political message once frowned upon, but now it's everywhere, with authors writing about everything from eco-socialism to redistribution.
Wednesday.
Top story from the Huffington Post, LGBTQ people erased from books in Russia under gay propaganda law. Goodnight Stories for Rebel Girls, a best-selling children's book featuring 100 stories of prominent women, was published in Russia this year, but with one story missing. Liza Lazerson, a feminist blogger who owns a copy, said she was surprised to see that while the cover promised 100 stories, the book contained only 99 and one blank page, supposedly for the reader to add their own. But then a follower sent me a photo of Coy Mathis' story from the French edition, Lazarsen, who is based in Moscow, told the Thomson Reuters Foundation in written comments. Mathis, an 11-year-old transgender girl from the United States, won a landmark victory in a 2013 case against her school, allowing her to use the girl's bathroom. Bambora, which printed the book in Russia, did not immediately respond to requests for comment. The Russian news site Taki Dela has quoted the publisher, saying that it excised the story due to Russia's 2013 ban on the spreading propaganda for non-traditional sexual relations to minors. The law is seen by campaigners as an attempt by President Vladimir Putin to draw closer to his electorate, most of whom are Orthodox Christians. Also in the news on Wednesday from the bookseller, Eleanor Oliphant is completely fine, named public's favorite at BAMB Awards. Gail Honeyman's best-selling debut, Eleanor Oliphant is Completely Fine, has scooped the Books Are My Bag Reader's Choice Award, while Philip Pullman and The Secret Barrister also scored prizes. From Digiday, it's a relationship why Quartz is leaning on community for its first membership product. Publishers looking for consumer revenue are realizing that unlimited access to content or an ad-light experience often isn't good enough. That's why Quartz is hoping to build a community around a new membership program that includes events, exclusive content, and regular conference calls with Quartz staffers. From DeGruyter, DeGruyter and University of California Press enter partnership. Following an agreement announced recently with the University of Chicago Press, DeGruyter has signed a further agreement with the University of California Press for the international distribution of 2,500 UC Press ebook titles on DeGruyter.com, comprised of approximately 500 frontlist titles and 2,000 backlist titles. And finally, on Wednesday from LitHub, Poetry is Infinite, a conversation with Jeffrey Schultz. The poem should reveal an image of what is beyond linguistic expression.
Thursday.
Top story from The Guardian National Book Awards, Sigrid Nunez wins fiction prize as Isabel Allende is honored. Sigrid Nunez has won the top prize at the prestigious National Book Awards in New York on Wednesday night, winning the fiction category for her seventh novel, The Friend, about a woman grieving the loss of her beloved literary mentor as she inherits his mourning dog, a 180-pound Great Dane. Jeffrey C. Stewart won the award for nonfiction for The New Negro, The Life of Elaine Locke, a biography of Locke, who became the first Black Rhodes Scholar in 1907, and is often hailed as the father of the Harlem Renaissance. The Young People's Literature category winner was The Poet X by the poet and author Elizabeth Acevedo. A novel in verse, it tells the story of a young Afro-Latina girl in Harlem who turns to slam poetry to make sense of the world around her. The award for poetry was won by Black queer poet Justin Philip Reed for his first full-length book of poetry, Indecency. This year, the foundation added a fifth category of translated literature comprising fiction and nonfiction from anywhere in the world. 140 books were read in the judging of the category, which was won by Japanese author Yoko Tawada's The Emissary, a dystopian novel set in Japan after a mysterious disaster, translated by Margaret Mitsutani. Also in the news on Thursday from the bookseller, Jones, Nicol, and Badil pen W.H. Smith Books of the Year. Ruth Jones, John Nicol, and David Badil titles have been announced as W.H. Smith's 2018 Books of the Year. From The Guardian, Robin Robertson wins Goldsmith Prize for Innovative Fiction with The Long Take. Scottish poet wins £10,000 prize for his narrative poem about a D-Day veteran in search of a home in post-war America. From Patch, new school book borrowing policy has some Mahwah, New Jersey parents upset. The policy reduces the number of times students can check out books in favor of more screen time, parents said. From The Guardian, librarians to the rescue, a brief history of heroic bibliophiles. Whether they're saving books from censorship or sheltering their community from danger, there's nothing new about librarians choosing actions alongside words. From Entertainment Weekly, how a new wave of graphic novels is revitalizing classics and pushing diversity. Whether it's disturbing or comforting or both, these harsh realities are enduring, but they are increasingly opening dialogue as these stories reach a new audience as graphic novels. And finally, on Thursday from Smithsonian Magazine, the history of First Lady's memoirs. Freed from the political constraints of living in the White House, these famous women have over the decades shared their personal opinions with the public. We'll be right back after this message from our sponsor.
This episode is sponsored by...
This episode is brought to you by Target. Visit Target.com today and get your sneak peek on Black Friday deals. Save 50% off books, $4 movies, and vinyl music on sale from November 18th through the 21st. Save $15 sale on 4K movies. Free $10 gift cards when you spend $40 on Elf on the Shelf items. 15% off holiday music. Vinyl sales starting at $15. A CD sale starting at $7 are possible today if you just visit Target. Click on our link at audio.as21.com or go to.target.com/as21 and save today. That's target.com. Get your holiday shopping done right.
Friday.
Top story from The Guardian. Toxic beats gammon and cakeism to win Oxford Dictionary's Word of 2018. Oxford Dictionaries have steered clear of big dick energy and the derogatory term gammon to name toxic at its Word of the Year, citing the adjective's use to describe everything from the debate around Brexit to the environment and masculinity. Defining the word as poisonous, Oxford said it had become a descriptor for the year's most talked about topics. The dictionary pointed to a 45% rise in the number of times the word has been looked up on its website and said it best captured the ethos, mood, or preoccupations of 2018, thanks to the sheer scope of its application. Oxford's Word of the Year is intended to reflect the passing year in language. Other words and phrases shortlisted for 2018 included big dick energy, defined by Oxford as an attitude of understated and casual confidence, gammon, which is typically used in the UK as a derogatory term for an older middle-class white man whose face becomes flushed due to anger when expressing political, typically right-wing, opinions, and orbiting, which is the action of abruptly withdrawing from direct communication with someone while still monitoring and sometimes responding to their activity on social media. Also in the news, on Friday, from the bookseller, Lu Zixin wins 2018 Arthur C. Clarke Lifetime Award. Lu Zixin, author of the Three-Body Trilogy, has won the 2018 Arthur C. Clarke Award for Imagination and Service to Society from the Clarke Foundation. From ABC Fox out of Montana, Bozeman's only used bookstore looking for new owner. They started with only a few books, but now they have nearly 32,000. Sandy Feeney and Pam Harwell, business partners turned best friends, have owned the used book emporium for nearly 5 years. After the previous used bookstore was closed, the two, at the time no more than co-workers at a local big box store, saw a need in the community. From The Guardian, Dostoevsky book among hundreds banned in Kuwait, Information Ministry blacklists The Brothers Karamazov and other titles at book festival. From Vogue, the Lyon Museum takes shape 1 year after the courtier's death, a bookstore opens at his Marais flagship. Last Saturday in Paris, streams of visitors, among them a smattering of former models, the photographers Roger Ballin, Jean-Baptiste Mondino, Jean-Paul Goud, and Sarah Moon, plus the starriest chef of them all, Alain Ducasse, made a pilgrimage to the courtyard at 18 Rue de Verrières for the unveiling of the Associen Azadine Alea bookshop. From Anything Libraries, anything to become early adopter of community engagement system for public libraries. In continuing to provide its customers with the latest in technology and innovative services, Anything has partnered with the nonprofit OCLC to become an early adopter of OCLC WISE, the first community engagement system for U.S. public libraries. WISE is a customizable system that transforms traditional library management with a holistic, people-centric approach. And finally, on Friday from LitHub, when a story is best told backwards, Samantha Harvey on the melancholy of reverse narratives.
Saturday.
Top story from Global Voices, netizen report Tanzania's crackdown on free speech targets media advocates from CPJ. Two media freedom advocates from the Committee to Protect Journalists were detained and interrogated by plainclothes officers in Tanzania while they were visiting the country as part of a fact-finding mission. CPJ staffers Angela Quintal and Muthaki Mumo were coerced to leave their hotel and were detained for several hours at a private home by plainclothes officers. The officers also seized and attempted to search their electronic devices. In a written account of their experience for South Africa's The Daily Maverick, Quintal described how the officers treated both her and Mumo, who is Kenyan. Quintal and Mumo were in Tanzania to meet with journalists and media freedom advocates who have seen a rise in repression of media workers in recent years under the administration of President John Magufuli. Alongside extra-legal threats against media workers, measures like the country's 2016 cybercrime law and the 2018 blogger tax licensing scheme have created new ways for authorities to take free expression and silence their critics. Also in the news on Saturday from Quartz, Stan Lee and Marvel saved the comic book industry after the U.S. Congress tried to kill it. It was in a torpid environment that DC Comics in 1960 created the Justice League of America, a collection of DC heroes who teamed up to fight crime. That title's modest success led Martin Goodman, publisher of what later became known as Marvel, to ask his editor, Stanley Lieber, to create a super team of his own. Using the pen name Stan Lee, Lieber joined with ace artist Jack Kirby to create the Fantastic Four, and comics were never the same. From the bookseller, introducing the new breed of indie booksellers, Natasha Onwemezi meets four lively indies that have opened recently, all of whom put their communities at the heart of what they do. From the LA Times, William Goldman, Oscar-winning screenwriter of Butch Cassidy and the Sundance Kid, All the President's Men, and The Princess Bride, dies at age 87. The prolific Hollywood wise guy wrote some of the most quotable films of all time, and also authored a number of novels and memoirs. He became a sought-after script doctor, a hired gun who burnishes a struggling screenplay, because he understood cinematic storytelling as well as the importance of a character's perspective. From the National Diet Library of Japan, the NDL announced the launch of an English language user interface to the WARP. WARP has been collecting and preserving websites since 2002. The entire archive of websites is available for viewing on the premises of the NDL. Archived websites for which the webmaster has granted permission are also available via the internet from the NDL website. From the Irish Times, can a man write a feminist novel? The House on Vesper Sands author Parag O'Donnell on the fate of Elizabeth Parker and whether a man can be a feminist. And finally on Saturday from the CBC, participating in NaNoWriMo, Pasha Mala says, embrace the desperation. I only trust the low points. The low points push you forward. The high points are illusions and fantasies to be mistrusted and got out of by pushing deeper until you feel low again. That's where the good stuff happens, I think, in that dark, bleak trough of self-doubt and fear. And closing out the week, we have one listener submissions from Publishers Weekly, Phishing Scam Seeking Manuscripts Spreads Worldwide. The Association of American Representatives sent out a letter warning about a phishing scam that has been plaguing publishing for the past 2 years. Penguin Random House sent out a similar letter just prior to the Frankfurt Book Fair. As described by the AAR alert, the scam, which has taken on a variety of iterations, initially started in continental Europe and Asia, but has recently spread to the UK and United States. It typically involves a literary agent, scout, or publisher being asked for a manuscript by what appears to be a trusted party, another agent, scout, or publisher, via email. We'll be right back after this message from our sponsor with the bestseller list from Fiona the Computer.
This episode is sponsored by...
This Saturday, November 24th, is Small Business Saturday. In an effort to support local shops that make our community strong, American Express launched Small Business Saturday on the Saturday after Thanksgiving to encourage people to shop small and bring more holiday shopping to small businesses. It is spread not only nationwide, but worldwide, and in 2011, the U.S. Senate unanimously passed a resolution in support of the day, and officials in all 50 states participate. It even gets a shout-out from the President of the United States. In 2013, more than 1,400 individuals and organizations signed up as neighborhood champions to rally their communities with events and activities on Small Business Saturday, and that number continues to grow, up to 7,200 in 2017. If you have a small business, sign up today at americanexpress.com/shopsmall. Or if you just like to take part in your community and do the right thing by shopping small, visit americanexpress.shopsmall for a list of participating businesses. And get out there on Saturday and keep those dollars in your community where they do the most good. So visit americanexpress.shopsmall for more information.
Hello, this is Fiona the AOS 21 computer. Here's the New York Times bestseller list. Sales for the week ending the 10th of November. Combined print and ebook fiction number 1, Past Tense by Lee Child. Hardcover fiction number 1, Past Tense by Lee Child. Paperback trade fiction number 1, The Tattooist of Auschwitz by Heather Morris. Combined print and ebook nonfiction number 1, Killing the Esses by Bill O'Reilly and Martin Duggard. Hardcover nonfiction number 1, Killing the Esses by Bill O'Reilly and Martin Duggard. Paperback nonfiction number 1, Sapiens by Yuval Noah Harari. Young Adult Hardcover number 1, The Hit You Give by Angie Thomas, and from Publishers Weekly, sales for the week ending the 11th of November supplied by NPD Books can top 10 overall number 1, Whose Boat Is This Boat? Comments That Don't Help in the Aftermath of a Hurricane by the staff of The Late Show with Stephen Colbert, top hardcover front list fiction number 1, Past Tense by Lee Child, top hardcover front list non-fiction number 1, Whose Boat Is This Boat? Comments That Don't Help in the Aftermath of a Hurricane by the staff of The Late Show with Stephen Colbert, top trade paper front list number 1, The Tattooist of Auschwitz by Heather Morris. Top mass market front list number 1, Leopards Run by Christine Fionn. Top children's front list fiction number 1, The Meltdown, Diary of a Wimpy Kid book 13, by Jeff Kinney. A comedy book is the number 1 seller according to Nielsen. That seems about right. Now back to Keith for the Home Report.
Thank you, Fiona, and now for the Home Report. This past week we announced the theme for our monthly open mic at Walls of Books. In order to increase participation each month, we will have a theme poet to inspire others to speak up and share. Visit events.as21.com for more information. AS21 merchandise is now available at tpublic.com. The direct-to-garment retailer features designs from several AS21 podcasts and titles. Visit the new store today by clicking the link at as21.com or visit tpublic.com/stores/as21-market. And if you click over now, you may save 30% on all items. AS21 Audio has renewed its call for listener feedback. You can still fill out surveys for the AS21 podcast, such as the one you're listening to right now, at surveys.as21.com, and you'll be awarded with 21% off at the AS21 market and entered for a chance to win a $25 Visa gift card. But also take a moment to click over to iTunes, Podomatic, Google Play, Stitcher Radio, TuneIn, or whatever podcast service you're listening to, and leave us a review. Good or bad, these reviews help us reach a wider audience and also help us as we develop new programming and sponsorship opportunities. Like what we're doing, leave 5 stars and a short review. Not so much, leave however many stars you feel are appropriate, but then tell us why in the review. Unlike other podcasts, we can take constructive criticism, so we appreciate any and all feedback on our podcast series. Last weekend was DC Podfest at Spaces the Artisphere in Arlington, Virginia. I had a great time meeting with other podcasters and sharing my advice in one-on-one sessions. For more information and to plan for next year's event, visit dcpodfest.com. Unfortunately, we missed last week's episode between all the work with DC PodFest and the Veterans Day holiday here in the U.S., but hopefully you didn't miss us too much. The Publish Me podcast shared 3 footnote episodes this week, recorded live at the Blue Ridge Writers 2018 Book and Art Fair in Charlottesville, Virginia. Each footnote features a different author sharing their work and giving advice for new writers as part of NaNoWriMo 2018. Find Publish Me on Podomatic, everywhere else you get your podcasts, and audio.as21.com. Friday night was Poetry Open Mic at Walls of Books, Washington, D.C. This month's theme was Walt Whitman, as we shared passages from Leaves of Grass and other works inspired by Whitman. We had a good turnout, and the group had a far-reaching conversation about poetry and spoken word rhyming. Come on out to Parkview each month as we continue to share. Next month's featured poet is Robert Frost. Visit wallsofbooksdc.com for more information. In the week ahead, we'll be sharing our discounts for Small Business Saturday. To find out early, sign up for the weekly email at as21.com or facebook.com/as21. Tuesday is the 21st of November, and the monthly ePress 21 webinar, Are You Ready to Self-Publish? Sign up today for just $6, and you can get my direct knowledge on the things you need to consider before you self-publish. Then, after the webinar is done at 8 p.m. Eastern Time, stick around on Periscope and YouTube for the monthly Ask AS21 on the 21st, as I'll be taking questions on book writing, publishing and promotion, podcast production, video series, and anything you might want to ask about the creative process. So find that on the AS21 Periscope feed and youtube.com/AS21. The video will be posted to video.as21.com after it's done. There will be more footnote episodes of Publish Me throughout the week, so be on the lookout. Thursday is the Thanksgiving holiday in the United States, a time to gather together with those we love and share what we are thankful for. Please take time to see all the good in this world and be grateful to have been a part of it. I know I am. The holiday shopping season officially kicks off once the dishes are done with Black Friday, a day of retail shopping and low deals. It continues on Saturday with Small Business Saturday, a day to find special discounts at the smaller retailers and local businesses a bit closer to home. We'll be announcing deals this week that will cover Small Business Saturday through the following Monday, known as Cyber Monday, for the day online sites offer the best deals. All this spending bonanza wraps with Giving Tuesday the following week, where you're encouraged to donate to the charities of your choice. We'll be sharing our favorites throughout the day on the AS21 Facebook page and Twitter feed. As always, be on the lookout for other AS21 podcasts and video series throughout the week by following us on Twitter at AS21 or on Facebook, facebook.com/AS21. Remember, you can support this and the other podcasts of the AS21 podcast series on Patreon. Support today starting at just $1 a month, and you'll get access to a creative-only blog with news directly from our creators, special episodes of some of the podcasts you love, and other wonderful special gifts. Go to patreon.com/as21 and become a patron of the arts today. Also remember, you can sponsor this and the other AS21 podcasts through AdvertiseCast. We have various rates available, ranging from 15 seconds up to a minute, as well as special bonuses such as postings on AS21 Twitter account and our Facebook pages. Thank you for listening to the Literary This Week podcast. We are now available on Spotify, so welcome to all Spotify subscribers as they listen today. Otherwise, you can find our podcast on Podomatic, Apple Podcasts, Stitcher Radio, Google Play, TuneIn, and our home on the web, audio.as21.com. Copyright 2018, AS21 Media, LLC. All rights reserved. AS21 Media. What do you want your story to be?